At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
Let's take another trip back over to Delphi. This case, it's... I don't even have words anymore, Stacey. I don't have words anymore because so much of this makes zero sense. And as you keep digging and you keep digging and you keep finding more parts and pieces, which actually we're going to talk about that were just put together, it looks darker and more disturbing than I think a lot of us even expected it to be. Maybe have thought, maybe. But this goes dark and this goes deep. So... to catch you up on what's going on here recently, the attorneys for Richard Allen had filed several motions, one about the errors that they believed had taken place in the trial, meaning the car or the white van that we talked about in the trial. The state's timeline didn't make sense. It didn't add up if you actually put it to paper and go, wait a second, if you're going to say this here, you're saying that over there, and that doesn't make sense. The third party culprit suspect, there was a couple other things on there as well. Well, no surprise, Special Judge Fran Gall has rejected all of that and said, no, I'm not even going to hear it, not even give you a hearing. Richard Allen's attorneys were trying to overturn his murder conviction in the Delphi murders case, denying multiple defense motions aimed at securing that retrial. Despite Allen's conviction and sentencing to 130 years in prison for the 2017 murders of Libby German and Abigail Williams, his attorneys continue to argue that key evidence was withheld and new information has surfaced, which it has.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is like... the only other case that makes me feel just so frustrated, I think, is Ellen Greenberg, where it's just you have to suspend reality to go along with what the state wants you to think.
It feels like an episode of The Twilight Zone. This can't be real life. This is complete fiction, but it is actual real life.
It is, and that's what makes it really, really disturbing. So in an order that was dated on February 14th, Gall denied the defense's verified motion to correct error that we were just talking about, a request filed on January 20th seeking to vacate Allen's conviction. She also denied a second motion filed on February 14th to strike the state's response, as well as a motion to correct the abstract judgment. These rulings were entered into the case record on February 18th and were made without a hearing. So... not really any surprise there. Why did they have to do all this? So it's on the record. So when it gets to an appellate court, they have a record of here are the steps we have tried over here in vain. The defense's latest challenge now revolves around an Indiana inmate, Rishi Davis, who claims that two men, Ron Logan and, here's another voice from the past, Keegan Klein.
Oh boy.
Confess their involvement in the murders. These are allegations from Rishi Davis. So understand that as we're reporting this. This is what's being said. This is the allegations that Rishi Davis is making and allegedly has been making since like 2017 and was ignored. He claims that they confessed their involvement in the murders to him in those shorter words, or at least involvement. Logan, who owned the land where the girls were found, allegedly admitted to Davis that he committed the murders and provided details only the killer would know.
Oh, boy.
Davis says Klein, a convicted child pornographer, later corroborated Logan's statements and expressed relief that after Allen's conviction, believing it would keep him from being a suspect. I got news for you, dude. The public's already been thinking it for a long, long time.
Oh, my God. So he let somebody else, well, obviously he's not an upstanding citizen if that's what he's into.
No.
But just let somebody else, some pharmacy technician from CVS, take the fall.
Yeah. So, again, these are all allegations. He's never been charged with anything with that case. You know, just child porn. That's all. And, oh, yeah, and he was communicating with one of the girls the day she died. And he's an adult and she's a child. That can possibly...
But he was never looked at.
Can't be connected in any way, shape, or form, right? Nothing to see here. Look the other way, everyone. Davis claims he sent as many as 8 letters to Carroll County Prosecutor Nick McClelland during Allen's trial detailing what he was told. He also alleges that he provided a recorded interview to the police. However, Allen's defense team has never seen these letters or the interview. And McClelland has refused to confirm whether they exist or were shared with the defense. Rishi Davis was shocked to learn that Baldwin had never received the videotaped interview. The defense wrote in their motion referencing a conversation between Davis and Allen's attorney, Andrew Baldwin, in February of 25 this year. The defense has accused McClelland of withholding evidence and failing to disclose whether the letters and recorded statements exist. Baldwin said he repeatedly asked for clarification but received no response from the prosecution. McClelland's response was vague, non-responsive to the defense request, and did not indicate whether he ever received those letters nor whether he sent those letters to the defense motion states. So it's kind of a... Oh, well, there she caught her red-handed. He's got the documents there. Over there, they were looking at all the documents on the McClelland's bathroom floor. I don't know what I'm trying to do. It wasn't me.
Well, that was pretty good.
I was just trying to get to that point. And I'm like, oh, I'm doing the whole verse. Shit.
Yes, you are. Yeah, you started right away.
Didn't mean to do that. I guess it's been too much karaoke in my basement with my pets. I wish that weren't true.
You and me both, friend. You and me both.
Anyway, prosecutors have countered that Allen's attorneys had the opportunity to present evidence at trial and that Davis's claims are unreliable. The state revealed that Davis miserably failed a polygraph test when pressed about Logan's alleged confession. Okay, this is what the state keeps going back to when they're talking about this guy. He miserably failed a polygraph test. That guy that wrote all those letters that has information before anyone in the public knew about it, about the actual murder scene. Like, he wouldn't hold the polygraph test. Don't ask me about it. Lala. When did you do the polygraph test? He failed it. Like, what was the date? Who administered? He's a failure. He's a failure. That's how I feel they operate there. I think that's how it goes down behind the scenes, honestly. At least maybe when the phones hang up.
Maybe.
But, yeah, that's all they say. Davis, who is serving a 50-year prison sentence for meth distribution, admitted that he initially withheld some details in 2024 because he was unsure whether Allen was one of the men involved. However, in their February 2025 conversation, Davis told Baldwin that he later realized Allen was not the third person involved and tried to alert prosecutors. Said he didn't want to, you know, do that in case Allen was the third guy involved. He didn't know at the time. Now, Allen's defense team is pushing for the letters, interview recordings, and any related communications to be preserved and turned over. They argue that the information could impact Allen's conviction and support their claims that he is innocent. Now, this is where it's going to get rather interesting. Because the prosecutor the DA, they better really hope they still have that information or can figure out what happened to it, because there's a couple different paths this could go down. They could show that they actually never received any of it. If they can trace it back to the outgoing mail system at the prison and can show that something happened there and for some reason all seven of these letters never got to them, well, then they have somewhat of a case. Errors occur. It's a lot of odds there for seven. That would be interesting. The video deposition you might have a little more trouble with, but hey, it hasn't stopped them in the past. They just say, whoops, we recorded over it. There was nothing to see there. Move on. They actually did that. That was the first part of this case with interviews with actually some of these people we're talking about right now. So I'm wondering what's going to exist. What are they going to get to turn over? What are we going to find here?
I don't even have a thought on that. This is such a screwed up case.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. Why can't we have another a retrial? Why can't we?
Well, we got to take our steps to get there. But you have a judge that is pretty convinced that this went the correct way. At least that's all you can glean from it, is that that she really believes it was right. Okay. I mean, everyone can have their opinion. She is the judge. You know, I hope there's nothing else going on here, though.
Yeah. And that's the part that's bothering me, is we have all these other pieces that really should be looked at. We've got a guy who's going to serve the rest of his existence on this planet behind bars for something that a jury said he did, but was all the evidence seen? It doesn't sound that way. So shouldn't we look at all of the evidence?
Well, this should have certainly been shared in discovery. If it was an error, that's... If they have it and they didn't turn it over, they're going to have to basically say and just plead, hey, look, we didn't even look at this, or we didn't pay attention to it with everything that was coming in. This was not on purpose. And either way, it means the same thing, that it's just a major piece of the case that wasn't looked into, was not even investigated. It was just, well, he did a polygraph and that was the end all be all. You know what? We don't allow polygraphs in court. So to say that that's the end all be all on this guy. And I'm going to just say this, consider the source that did the polygraph test.
Right.
Though the source that seems to be blocking everything and not investigating anything that are solid leads, where even the FBI is coming to you and saying, hey, here's the platter with everything we just got for you on this guy who we think could be your guy. And you just do nothing with it. And we kick the FBI out. That's not weird.
It's really concerning.
There's nothing to see here.
You know, I've said it before, but I guess, and especially having a lawyer in my family, I want to believe that people are given an opportunity to present their case and that the courts are fair and that innocent people don't go to jail. And one thing that he has impressed upon me is I would rather have a guilty person out in society than an innocent person behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not how our system should operate. And that's resonated with me, that I don't want to see an innocent person behind bars. I'd rather have somebody who is guilty running free.
Well, yeah, without a doubt.
It doesn't feel like that's the case here.
Not at all. And I feel like I'm starting to understand here is that, you know, if we're talking about a conspiracy here, there's a lot of people involved.
I was just going to say it runs deep.
And it runs deep and it runs dark. And I don't know who would all be involved in this. Who the hell knows? I'm guessing probably a lot of names that we've never heard before in this case or in anything, to, unless you're a resident of Delphi. But when I read through the defendant verified motion to preserve and produce specific evidence earlier today, that's it on the screen behind me. And there's a, you can listen to it in its entirety if you don't want to read all of the legal document. It's a few pages. But what is alluded to in here, and I'm not going to find it right this second, is that there was basically a pedophile sharing ring of, or picture sharing ring, I guess, amongst some of these folks, allegedly. Keegan Klein. Ron Logan is alleged in it.
Yuck.
And there's allegations that are also coming out from the Mr. Ricci, who's making these allegations from prison, that there was other things involved as well, and other people, and it's, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. I mean, especially, you know, the jurisdiction that is being looked into, asking it to investigate itself, probably not going to do a whole lot. I'm wondering if, you know, this needs to look, start becoming a federal investigation of some sort on this entire,
entire thing
and this entire group and this community. I mean, you're showing a tie between Logan and Klein there in that, that accusation. But where else does that go? I guess, you know, yeah, you can have, I guess, two creepy guys out in the country and not be that surprised, but there's allegations that Ron Logan had said to Rishi in prison, and I'm just paraphrasing here, the allegations was that he had somebody higher up that had assured him that he would not stay in jail or in prison. Something to that effect. The exact verbiage is in, actually that's in the letter that he had sent to a television station in Indiana, Rishi, because he's wanting his story to be heard. So he's sending him to TV now too. What's your initial reaction though, Stacey, when you hear that this guy is, you know, he's in on drug charges, 50 years. There's no incentive for him to be doing this. He's not asking for any sort of leniency or anything to do with his sentence. He's just saying, I'm doing this because I think it's the right thing to do. And I'm a parent too. Again, drug charges. He's not a child predator. He's not an abuser. He's not a this or that, you know, at least that we know of. But it's drug charges. So that tells me, I guess, a little more about the character, maybe. But then they throw in the, well, he failed the polygraph, which I think turns people away pretty quick. But if that's just bullshit too, which I would not be surprised if it is, I don't see why this guy would be sharing all this stuff. It makes him a target.
He doesn't have anything to gain by.
No, he has everything to lose.
Yes. And that's, you know, you could say, well, you know, the dude was into drugs, so his judgment's not the greatest. Okay, that's fine. But one thing I do want to say about polygraphs is there's a reason they're not admissible in court, because you can manipulate how you score on them.
Yeah.
I have a brother who can pass lie detector tests like nobody's business, and he is a horrific liar. You know, if you're skilled at this, you can pass them. So just because somebody passes one of those tests doesn't mean that they're telling.
Well, that's why you can't. They're not admissible in court. You can also just be an insanely nervous person, and you're going to fail your polygraph test just because of your nerves.
Yeah, so, all the indicators are going to be there that you're not telling the truth, when in fact you may just be nervous.
So I say take that out of the equation. Even take the polygraph out, at the very least, why not investigate this a little bit? Why not look into this guy a little bit and take this a little more seriously? This guy even offered to wear a wire.
Yeah. And again, he has nothing to gain by doing this. He has everything to lose. Why is he putting himself out there if it isn't the fact that he may know something that could be useful?
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's really hard for some of us to step up and do the right thing because it can be an inconvenience. It can be a giant pain in the ass.
Yeah.
To try to step in and do something for somebody else. It's just the way human nature is. We don't want to work extra hard if we don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
This is putting a lot of pressure on this man. This is a lot. Yeah. And yet he said, you know what? I need to step up and do something because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I don't see why he would be, he wants attention. He doesn't really have a history of that. Yeah. So, and no, you don't want attention here. Because if you're looking at the big picture here, weird shit happens in Delphi. People die for weird reasons. Sometimes they just take you and put you in a cage, in solitary confinement for years for crimes you've never been convicted of. And they make you go crazy till you eat your own feces and run headfirst into concrete walls.
It's not a good look. I think at the end of the day, anybody who is in the legal field, justice field, don't we want to make sure that the right person is behind bars?
Yes.
If somebody presents you the information, isn't it your job to say, we at least need to look at this. If we disprove it, then we did our due diligence. Let's move along. I think it's an obligation. You take an oath to go into this field and do the right thing and serve the people. So then serve the fucking people.
Well,
that's what you do. So do it.
To review here, if you're new to this story and you're like, what the hell? We just went over a litany of things that point to other people in this case and allegations of it. And what do we have against Richard Allen? The police claim they found a bullet on the ground in a crime scene area that was not well guarded, and they had like 30, 40 officers all trampling around there after they had found the bodies. And then after that, they found a bullet on the ground. And the bullet happened to match the same type of gun that Richard Allen had in his house. Do you know how many bullets match different types of guns? It's especially if it's a common one. And that's all they had. There was nothing that showed it was actually from his gun. It was just he had a gun. And that bullet matched. So basically, you find a bullet on the ground somewhere. I don't, depending on the part of the country you're in this area of Northwest Arkansas, you'd probably be matching, you know, thousands of people very, very quickly to that bullet being possibly from their weapon. So you got that, you know, it's a real, got it. And you have that he raised his hand right after the girls went missing and said, I was hiking that day. How can I help?
Yeah, see, that's, he has no reason to do that.
Before that, there's no criminal past. He's a dad of two. He's the CVS pharmacy tech. There's nothing. There's nothing there. He's kind of an outsider to the town because a lot of people there are just there. And he'd been there for like around 10 years from what I understand. But that's still an outsider in a place like that. So who are we covering for? Like what is going on here that we can't begin to go down the road of looking at these accusations against Keegan Klein and who's the bridge guy, Ron Logan?
Yeah.
Why can't we go down those roads? I mean, they're not special human beings. They're clearly really horrible people, or at least we surely know one is. But where is that going to lead if you go there? I think that's where the rubber meets the road on this case. And I feel like we're almost to the road. Because when you start to figure out where's a Ron Logan connection, or why or how or what is this? did he say that in prison, that there's somebody that is, you know, has his back basically on the outside? And what does that connect to and why? I think matching, this is one where you got to get out the yarn and the pictures and figure out a few things. Because I'm really curious as to where that would all lead. I have no
idea.
I'd
like to see somebody do that.
But I feel it probably leads to some place of power where that should not be getting out. Who is that? What is that? Is it multiple people? Is it one person? I have no freaking idea. But I think we're getting closer and closer to maybe, you know, in the not so distant future, start to answer that question.
The world of true crime never stops, and neither do we. Press subscribe now to get daily updates, in-depth analysis, and expert opinions from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. He was charming, handsome, a devoted husband, a doting father. When his wife died tragically in a freak accident, everyone pitied him. He played the role so well, grieving widower, devastated, single dad, just trying to put the pieces back together. But the thing about perfect men, they're usually hiding something. And this one was hiding everything. The affair, the insurance policy, the other wife in another state who had no idea she was married to a walking crime scene. If she had only subscribed to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, she could have listened to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi ad-free. And before everyone else, she could have seen through the lies. She could have gotten out while she still had the chance. Instead, she's just another case we'll be covering next week. Don't be her. Subscribe now to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.